The reading is found on page 1046 of the Church Bibles, and it's taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, beginning at the 18th verse. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and it became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough." This is the word of the Lord.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to be together this morning as we continue to worship Jesus, as we look at his word together. It's a joy and a privilege to officially be here with you as part of the team here at Emmanuel. For those that don't know me, my name is Ellie Huggins, and I, as of last week, have joined the team here. But shall we pray as we begin, as we look at these parables together? Oh, loving Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth, and that, Lord Jesus, you speak to us and transform us through it. And we pray that you'd give us eyes that are open to see, ears open to hear, and hearts that are ready to receive everything that you would have for us this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and do what only you can do as we read your word together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've ever been on a long car journey with little ones, you'll be only too familiar with the question, are we nearly there yet? I thought before having children that this was just a cliche sermon illustration, but now I'm aware just how true it is. We're going to Cornwall next week, and I'm aware that we're probably going to get it quite a few times. Or perhaps you've been on a long-haul flight where at some point in the journey, you flicked your TV screen over to the flight tracker channel where you see this little plane over a map of the world. And about 2 a.m., perhaps just 3 hours into like a 12-hour flight, the little plane doesn't seem to be moving anywhere. In fact, at times, it seems to be going backwards. You know where you want to be, but you feel so far away. God, when will your kingdom come? Are we nearly there yet? This was the question Jesus' followers were asking. The general expectation amongst the Jewish people in Jesus' day was that their long-awaited Messiah would come and that they would overrule the mighty Roman Empire. They were expecting a powerful victory, an uprising, a new kingdom to be established, one that would bring hope and life to the world. When Jesus announced at the start of his ministry that the kingdom of God is near, that was what they had in mind. And as they'd spent the last few months following Jesus, there'd been moments where they'd seen that becoming a reality. Right here in this chapter, just before these parables, we see Jesus healing a woman who'd been crippled for 18 years. They'd seen signs and wonders break out amongst them. Moments when it seemed like that little plane on the flight tracker took a huge leap forward. But they'd also experienced many moments of setback, where it felt like nothing was happening, where they seemed to be going backwards, where the opposition they faced felt greater than their ability to overcome it. Compared to the towering Roman Empire, compared to the age-old splendor of Judaism, these semi-illiterate disciples would have felt small and insignificant. Will we ever get there? Will this kingdom really be established? Are we nearly there yet? And as we today see and hear of people around the world, persecuted for their faith. As our TV screens and social media's feeds are filled with acts of violence, oppression, and destruction, as we see leaders and rulers of this world lording it in horrid ways over innocent lives, we can be left asking the question, are we nearly there yet? Maybe in your own life, you are facing trials and challenges today, and you're personally asking that same question, God, when will your kingdom come? When will your will be done on earth as in heaven? In his mercy and kindness, Jesus doesn't leave us wondering, struggling, guessing, wishing whether his kingdom might come to anything. In these two little parables, he assures us that it will, that a day is coming when his kingdom will be established over every corner of this world, and no matter how powerful and how strong the forces around us are, the power of his kingdom to advance and grow is unstoppable. It's a message those gathered around Jesus needed to hear back in the day, and it's a message we need to hear today. And frankly, if you want to zone out right now, please don't. But if there's one thing that you want to take this morning, then hear this. If you have chosen to put your trust in Jesus this morning, you are on the winning team. No matter what is going on in our world around us or in our lives, we can have certainty that in an uncertain world, Jesus is King. He has won the victory, and of that, we can be confident. Hopefully, however, you won't zone out. And my hope and prayer is this morning that we'll leave encouraged and hope-filled as we look at three things that these parables reveal to us about the kingdom of God. And the first is this: the kingdom of God is surprising. Don't miss it. The kingdom of God is surprising. Don't miss it. You know, just imagine the scene for a moment. Jesus asks his followers, what is the kingdom of God like? I wonder, what were they expecting him to say? Mighty, powerful, majestic, full of splendor. After all, this was supposed to overthrow the mighty Roman Empire. Well, can you imagine how they felt when he uttered his next sentence? It's like a mustard seed. Sorry, what? You can imagine the audible gasp of the crowd as he left that hanging in the air. But before they can breathe out, before they can utter another word, he goes again, what shall I compare it to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour. Mustard seeds? Measuring no more than a couple of millimeters in diameter. That's what the kingdom of God is like. A woman mixing yeast in a culture where women were seen as second-class citizens who had little voice or place outside the home. Jesus includes one in his description of his kingdom. And yeast, small, tiny, unnoticeable. It's crazy. I don't know if anybody here has ever watched The Apprentice. Those who make it to the end of the process, they get to go and present their business plans to Lord Sugar, and they're taken to all these interviews with his associates, and they are grilled and put through their paces. Come on, tell us, why is this thing going to fly? Show us where the growth is. Prove to us that this is worth investing in. Well, here's the thing, Lord Sugar. It begins with this. Sorry, you can't see it. Well, that's kind of the point. You'd be laughed out of the room, wouldn't you? You would not make it to be one of Lord Sugar's associates with a little mustard seed or a little bit of yeast. But that is exactly how God's kingdom works. So often in our society, to get to the top, you've got to be the best, the flashiest, the fastest. Look at those in positions of power around the world. So often it's those held up by arrogance and pride. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus says, this isn't how it works. And if we're not careful, we can miss it. in the smallest of things, the most insignificant of circumstances, and the most unimpressive of people, God can build his kingdom. A few years ago, I came across this interview with the Queen's security guard. It was around the time that they were celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, and I just want to play you a little bit of it now, so hopefully this is going to work. Have a look at the screens.
And the Queen used to go up there in May to Cregowan House and just stay there privately for a weekend. And she would go out at lunchtime for picnics, and very often it would just be the police officer and Her Majesty. And one of the picnics I went out with her, we had a lovely picnic and a lovely chat, and then we went for a little walk, just the two of us. And normally on these picnic sites, you meet nobody, but there was two hikers coming towards us, and the Queen would always stop and say hello. And it was two Americans on a walking holiday. And it was clear from the moment that we first stopped, they hadn't recognised the Queen, which is fine. And the American gentleman was telling the Queen where he came from, where they were going to next, and where they'd been to in Britain. And I could see it coming, and sure enough, he said to Her Majesty, "And where do you live?" And she said, "Well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just the other side of the hills." And he said, "Well, how often have you been coming up here?" "Oh," she said, "I've been coming up here ever since I was a little girl, so over 80 years. And you could see the clogs thinking. He said, "Well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen." And as quick as a flash, says, "Well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly." So the guy said to me, "Oh, you've met the Queen, what's she like?" And because I was with her a long time and I knew I could pull a leg, I said, "Oh, she can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humour." Anyway, the next thing I knew, this guy comes around, puts his arm around my shoulder, and before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera, gives it to the Queen, and says, "Can you take a picture of the two of us?" Anyway, we swapped places, and I took a picture of them with the Queen, and we never let on, and we waved goodbye, and then Her Majesty said to me, "I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows those photographs to the friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am."
Oh, that's brilliant.
There we go. Hopefully that's amused us. But also, I think, although, you know, it's a brilliant story. I mean, how did that happen? But, you know, they probably didn't expect to see the Queen walking, having a picnic in the hills of Scotland. And in a similar way, let's not miss the signs of the kingdom of God breaking out in front of us. It's so easy, isn't it, to get discouraged, to be like, "God, where are you? Come on, King Jesus, what are you doing? Where are you?" And maybe, actually, he is right in front of us. He is right in front of us. Are we seeing where he's at work and what he's doing? Because often those things are hidden and unseen. Perhaps it's someone coming to church for the first time. Are we noticing and welcoming them? Maybe it's a neighbour in need. What small act can we do that might plant the seeds of the kingdom of God? Who can we offer to pray for this week? Maybe there's someone that we know is struggling, and we could just step out and say, "How can I pray for you?" Something that nobody else will notice, but could make an enormous difference. Who can we speak about our love for Jesus and his love for them? Where can we be encouraging someone in the kingdom building work that they are doing? Maybe something we've noticed and nobody else has. So often, it's in the hidden, secret places that the kingdom of God is breaking out. Are we seeing it? Are we seeing it? And I love that Jesus doesn't just tell us stories to make his point. His very life is an illustration of the truth he is teaching here. Because when he came to earth, there was nothing special about him. A teeny tiny newborn born to a teenager in a stable in a backwater, who then worked for 30 years as a carpenter in a backwater town. When he turned 30, he began his public ministry, selecting a group of 12 unimpressive men to follow him. People who hadn't quite made the cut in other areas of life. He spent time hanging out with the nobodies, the people that others wouldn't even take a second glance at. And then, age 33, just 3 years into his public ministry, he died a criminal's death on a Roman cross. Doesn't sound very impressive, does it? And yet this is the one who has won a victory that no king or earthly ruler or power has ever won. A victory over death itself as he went into the grave, conquered death, and came out the other side, making a way for us to come too. The one who began life as a tiny baby in a stable has had a greater impact and influence upon history than anyone before or since. And it's because of him that we're gathered here at Emmanuel Stoughton this morning. If you don't yet know him, we would love to introduce you today. The kingdom of God is surprising. Don't miss it. Secondly, the kingdom of God is advancing. So take heart. If you read in verse 19, we saw that this Jesus is teaching them that if you plant this tiny seed into good soil, it will grow to be a tree 10 feet tall with branches so high that birds will come and rest in them. There's no question about whether or not it will happen. That's just the way nature works. If you plant a seed in the right soil with the right conditions, it will grow. It's just what happens. And to the people listening, this would have been hugely significant. Throughout scripture, trees were so often used to describe great political powers, be it Egypt or Babylon or Assyria. And so by saying the kingdom of God will grow into a big tree, Jesus is making a statement about the greatness and authority of his kingdom. This would have brought so much hope to those living under Roman oppression, and it brings such hope to people facing persecution around the world today. A few weeks ago, on the 5th of July, Tom was sharing stories of the growth taking place in Iran. Under extreme persecution and oppression, the kingdom of God is advancing in power, and nothing and no one can stop it. In the same way, the yeast doesn't stay small. When it's mixed into the flour, it produces bread with a rise that Paul Hollywood of Bake Off fame would be giving a handshake to. The kingdom of God doesn't just grow, it transforms everything around it. At times, God's kingdom may seem small and insignificant. Right now, you may be sitting here wondering where on earth God is in your situation, in the lives of those you love, in the world around us. Perhaps it seems today that God is defeated by our circumstances. But today we can take courage, because just as that little seed grew into a big tree so that the birds could rest in its branches, just as the yeast can permeate a huge batch of dough, so the kingdom of God is growing and will continue to grow. It will expand over every corner of this earth. How can I be so sure? Because that baby born in a stable who humbled himself even unto death, conquered death and all the forces of evil, and will come again one day to make all things new. Right now we see glimpses, but one day we'll see it in full. Against all the odds, God's kingdom is moving forward. In 33 AD, there were 120 followers of Jesus gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem, fearing for their lives. Their leader had just been killed, and they were terrified that they faced the same fate. And then Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit descended and filled them, and they went out with boldness, proclaiming that Jesus was Lord and that he'd risen from the dead. And now 2,000 years later, 2.3 billion people claim to be Christians, to be followers of Jesus. That's one in three people. The Church of Jesus is the largest organization on the planet, bigger than China, Europe, and the US. A dozen poor fishermen and tax collectors turned into 120 people, which turned into thousands, which turned into tens of thousands, which has turned into billions. You probably wouldn't have backed that horse from the start. A stable, a crown of thorns, and a crucifixion. But it's winning. It's winning far more reliably, perhaps, than the team that we might support at sport. In fact, it's won, and a day is coming when Jesus will come back, not as a tiny baby, but as a mighty and victorious king to make all things new. What's holding us back from believing this today? Perhaps it's our circumstances. Maybe we look at the news and what's going on in our life, and we just cannot begin to see where God is. We may not always feel that his kingdom is advancing and that these truths are real, but they are. And so maybe this week we want to make our prayer, God, open my eyes to see where you are at work. God, show me the surprising and hidden ways in which your kingdom is advancing. Give me spiritual eyes where I can't see. And ask him to bring comfort and strength to keep holding on. Maybe you want to ask somebody around you today to pray. Maybe you feel like you're about to let go, that you've been clinging on and clinging on and clinging on, and actually the hope is really fast fading. Maybe today you just need to say, would you pray for me that this hope would be renewed and that I would know that God is present with me, the one who knows what it is to suffer, the one who knows what it is to die, the one who has conquered death and who is alive and reigns today. He can comfort us and walk with us as we wait. Maybe you just don't know him. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer and ask Jesus to come into our lives. If we would like to pray that prayer, we can do that. We'd love to introduce you to our friend Jesus. Maybe you've forgotten who he is and what he can do. Maybe you just, the circumstances are crushing. We can't control our circumstances, but we can control what we choose to believe. And maybe this week you just want to remind yourselves as you read God's word, as you hold on to the truths in his word, even if they don't agree with how you're feeling right now. Read his word. Remind yourself of the promises that he is coming again to make all things new. We read at the 8:45, Revelation 21, 1-5. Maybe you want to use that as a reflection this week. These parables aren't just nice comforting stories. They hold true in our world today. And no matter what persecutions or pressures or trials come, the advancing of God's kingdom cannot and will not be stopped. Though it may take time, growth is inevitable. God's kingdom is advancing. And finally, as we come to finish, we can't move on without recognizing that God's kingdom includes us. It includes me and it includes you. So get involved. I wonder if you notice that both the parables involve a human being, whether it's a gardener sowing a seed or a woman stirring her dough. God's plan all along was that we would get to be part of the growing of his kingdom. And if we put our trust in Jesus today, we are on the winning team. We are on the winning team. So often as we watch sporting events, maybe as you watched the World Cup recently, we declare loudly after a victory for our team, we won! But the truth is, we didn't win. We sat on the sofa shouting at the players, telling them what to do. They're the ones that put in the work. They're the ones that put in the training. They're the ones that kind of went through the mental load of the game. Or maybe we did a little bit, but not quite to the same extent. But as we get behind our team, we get to share in their victory. And in the same way as we put our trust in Jesus, we get to share in his. But unlike a sporting match, the plan isn't for us to simply sit back and shout at the screen and watch it like some entertainment. We all have a part to play. This is God's plan A. I wonder how you feel as you hear that this morning. Maybe you're excited, or maybe you're very daunted and the I'm not good enough excuses come out. I'm too quiet. I'm not been a Christian long enough. I'm not an evangelist. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. But I believe we can take huge comfort from these parables today. A farmer and a woman. These were not great, powerful leaders of the day. They were ordinary, everyday people bringing what they had. You see, it's not about how big our offering is. It's about where we plant it and how big God is. I love what Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 3, he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Even Paul, the great apostle, realized that it wasn't actually about him at all. We can't do any of this in our own strength. This is God's mission, and we get to be a part of it. For each of us, it starts with what's in front of us. What have you got in your hands today? Our offering may seem small, but as we plant it in God, his kingdom will advance. I was chatting to somebody recently, and they'd been with their little one doing the Pray for Five thing, and they'd seen someone come to faith, and they were like, well, we can tick that one off the list. You know, what an amazing thing that just a parent and a daughter just praying that people would come to know Jesus. What an amazing thing to be sowing into God's kingdom. Such an easy thing to do, really, and we can all play our part. So what has God given us to build with? Gifts and talents, time or money? In our lives, we want to get behind things that are worth investing, things that are going to be successful. And Jesus reminds us in this parable that God's kingdom will be. It will never fail. Yes, it may take time, and yes, we may not always see what God's doing until he comes to make all things new. But we can be confident that it is advancing, and so there is no better place to invest, to plow all our resources into, than helping it to grow. Shall we stand as we pray together and as the band come back up, ready to lead us? And we're just going to pray. Let's just take a moment. Come, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us. And as we wait with you now, would you be ministering to our hearts, helping us to take that which you are speaking to us about?